pastor of the great Unity Baptist Church in Ripley, Mississippi. I've had the privilege to be there a couple of times, a great church, and he's a great pastor. And Dr. Borhoe, he's been a long time friend, a long time dear friend, a precious friend. Him and his wife both, they really have. They've done a great work here at Victory Baptist Church. And then Dr. Irwin, I love him and his family. And he has a great Bible conference in July. You ought to try to go to that conference. And then Dr. Thrift. Seen him grow up and saved the beautiful land, and now a great evangelist. God has really used him, and he was a great pastor too at Parkwood Baptist Church. And I'm glad that my wife is here tonight, and there she is. We've been married now 68 years. We met in high school, and you know the Bible says, "He that tooteth his own horn must tooteth it." And I was a great basketball player. Held the record, 88 points in one game. And my wife-to-be took note of all that. And at high school, we met in high school, and at lunch one day in the lunch room, I looked over where she was sitting, and she looked at me, and she winked at me. That's what started it. That started it out. 68 years. And I'm glad Christy is our driver. She drove us up here, my daughter, wonderful daughter. And her friend, Brother Browning, is here. We're glad to have him. They met in college, at Liberty Baptist College, Dr. Falwell's college. And I'm glad he came. He was in Austin and found out I was going to be here tonight, and he drove up here for the service. Glad to have him in the service. All right. I want to bring a message tonight that I've never heard anybody preach on it. Now, these pastors here probably have heard somebody preach on it, but in 64 years of preaching, I've never heard anybody preach on this subject I'm going to preach on tonight. So I want you to get your Bible, and I want you to follow me in the Word of God. I want to preach on the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude. Warnings to Bible-believing Christians about compromising entanglement. This message is about the mixed multitude. And notice four places in the Bible where this is mentioned. First of all, let's read from Exodus chapter 12, how the children of Israel left the bondage of Egypt. And keep in mind, they went out by the blood. Exodus 12, 13, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I like that old song too. In Exodus 12, verse 37, there's the beginning of the journeys of the people of God who had long been in Egypt, and the Lord never forgot them. Never forgot them. Exodus 12, verse 37, verse 38. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children, and probably the women, at least 2 million people. 2 million people. And the Bible says a mixed multitude, there it is. A mixed multitude went up also with them out of the land of Egypt, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. We find the expression again in Numbers chapter 11, the first six verses, verses 1 through 6, Numbers chapter 11. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And here it is. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. The third time we see the expression is in Nehemiah 13, verses 1 through 3. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel, which with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And it's mentioned again in the closing part of the Bible, not by name, but by description. Revelation 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Tonight, many professing Christians are saying, let's get together. But God never meant for all people to be together. We're free from the ecclesiastical overlordship, denominational powers, and all such. I'm a Baptist. I don't mean only Baptists are going to heaven. I don't believe only Baptists are the bride of Christ. But I do believe Baptists are free people. And I want to keep us that way. Years ago, back in the 60s, when I was pastor of Greenwood Village Baptist Church, I took about 60 of our people to an associational meeting on Shepherd Drive to a large Baptist church. The professor of evangelism at Southwestern Seminary was a speaker. And I brought our people to be blessed, and I brought our people to be lifted up. The professor of evangelism at Southwestern Seminary, he got up and immediately began to run down the King James Scofield Bible and made fun of people that used maps and charts. and he made fun of premillennialists. Wow. And what we believe about the second coming. After the sermon was over, the professor was standing there, and there was a long line of people coming up to him, congratulating him for the great sermon. And I've never done this before and never done it since, but the Lord laid it on my heart to get in line. And I got in line. When I came up to the professor, I said, "Why did you do that?" I said, "I brought 60 of our people over here to be blessed. And you got up and ran down the King James Scofield Bible and premillennialist." I said, "Why did you do that?" But it kind of got away with him. He said, "Well, I tell you what, I'm going to be in Houston before long, and I'll call you, and we'll get together and have lunch, and we'll talk it over." I said, "Okay." Of course, he never did come. And I've never done this before or since either. I wrote him a kind letter. It was a kind letter. And I said, "Sir, you know, W.A. Criswell, J. Harold Smith, R.G. Lee, Herschel Ford, great preachers in our movement." I said, "They're premillennialists." I said, "Why can't we have in our literature at least the premillennial view? All you get is the amillennial view." I said, "Why can't we have the premillennial view too?" And I found out that he took my letter and stood up in front of every seminary class he had and criticized and ridiculed me over that letter that I wrote him. And it was a kind letter. I walked out of the church that night remembering what Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 14, "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." And I prayed a little prayer. I said, "Lord, if you'll forgive me, I won't ever get mixed up with a mixed multitude like that again. If you'll forgive me." There's a great movement today that's greatly hurting the cause of Christ in our nation. It's the movement to get together. Everybody get together. They give you this old line, everybody's going to the same place and everybody believes the same thing. The thing wrong with that is it's not true. Not everybody who professes religion's going to heaven. Religion won't get you there, but Jesus will. And if you've been born again and blood washed and had the Spirit of God living in you, you'll believe the Bible. I don't believe in this movement, let's all get together. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." This mixed multitude is responsible for creating many perverted versions of the Bible. The mixed multitude wants a watered-down version. The mixed multitude introduced a low standard of Christian living. This crowd says, "Just come as you are. Doesn't matter how you dress, it's what's in your heart that counts." This mixed multitude is responsible for lowering the standards of Christianity. People come as you are and leave as they were. That's not what the Bible teaches. And the mixed multitude has lowered the standard of Christian music. You go in some churches and close your eyes and you think you're in a nightclub. And we've gotten to the place in this day that you have to search for a church that sings the old time hymns. The mixed multitude is the greatest enemy of old time fundamentalism, believing the Bible as it is, preaching it as it is, getting people saved and having a revival and building churches. The mixed multitude has taught people that the brotherhood is based upon our getting together. Real brotherhood, the Bible brotherhood, is about getting saved, believing the Bible, and living a separated life. Nothing good is said about the mixed multitude in the Bible. You can't find one good thing about it in the Bible. Some people are saying, well, let's build bridges from this group to that group. I'm not going to be a bridge builder. With my pocket full of matches, I'm going to burn some bridges. God helping me. Amen. Oh, my mule, will I shout. Hallelujah. We ought not to be mixing with those who don't know and don't believe the great doctrines of the Bible. Well, now that's my introduction. Every message has to have an introduction before you get to the first big point. Are you ready? First big point, the mixed multitude in Egypt. Here in Exodus 12, verse 37, a great mixture went out of Egypt. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Exodus 12, verse 13. But the Bible shows us it was not just the people who put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel of the door that went out of Egypt. God said, kill the Passover lamb. That lamb was a type, a picture, a glorious, wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1, verse 29. God said, take the blood and put it on the lintel of the door and upon the side post. And when I see the blood, when the death angel comes over, I'll pass over you. You'll be sheltered with the precious blood. This, of course, speaks of the blood of Christ. God's people came out of Egypt by the blood, but a lot of other people came out with them. The Bible calls them a mixed multitude. I tried to figure out who these people were, the mixed multitude. They were not blood washed. Some left Egypt, no doubt, because they were unhappy in Egypt. Others because they saw the miracles. And a lot of people are deceived by what they call miracles. I thank the Lord that the Bible said, speaking of John the Baptist, John 10, verse 41, John did no miracles. The great preacher, the great baptizer, the one who won thousands of people to Christ, never performed one miracle. Amen. Jesus said of him, Matthew 11, verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And he performed no miracle. The greatest of all miracles has to do with you being saved. The miracle of the new birth. But there's some people who see what they think are thousands of people being healed by the touch of somebody's hand or by blowing on them or something else. I'm not going to let anybody blow on me. Amen.
That's right. Running well.
I believe in divine healing, but I don't believe that people have the power to heal. And no doubt some people joined the Jews who were under the blood and came out because of what they saw. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about with this mixed multitude. The Bible tells us of two great kings who reigned at the same time. One was a bad man by the name of Ahab. He married a heathen woman who worshipped Baal. She had 850 false prophets. Ahab built a great temple to Baal. The whole nation turned to Baal worship. And there was a good man, the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. Ahab warned him to go to war with him. Jehoshaphat should have said no. You read about it in 1 Kings chapter 22. Jehoshaphat and Ahab went to war. Ahab was killed. Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter, and she set out to kill all the royal seed that would have led up to the birth of Jesus. 2 Kings 8, verses 16 through 18. I'm going to tell you something. The mixed multitude, there is nothing said about it in the Bible that's good. The mixed multitude messes with things that are dear to the born-again, blood-washed people of God, and we ought to burn every bridge that might lead to heaven apart with them. Acts 4, verse 23 says, "And being let go, they went to their own company." Don't be a part of the mixed multitude. Our company is the people of God who believe the Word of God, believe in the blood of Jesus, and believe the Bible teaches us to win souls and build churches. I guess I'm old-fashioned. Second big point, the mixed multitude in the wilderness. The second time the mixed multitude is mentioned is in Numbers chapter 11. The people complained and displeased the Lord, and he sent fire among them, verse 1. They cried to Moses, who prayed, and the fire was quenched, verse 2. Then the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" Verse 4. And the next verse tells us what they wanted: more cucumbers, melons, fish, leeks, onions, and garlic of Egypt. My, think of all that bad breath. They'd been delivered, and God done a wonderful thing by feeding them with manna, a beautiful picture, again, of the Lord Jesus Christ. It came from heaven each morning. They ate it for 40 years. The Bible says it tasted like wafers made with honey. Oh. God put everything in that manna that a believer needed to thrive, to endure the wilderness journey, to be cared for. Everything was there. But they wanted the onion, the leeks, and the garlic, and the fish that they had in Egypt. I don't want a breath that smells like it used to smell. How would anybody, free in the Lord, born again, cleaned up, would ever want to go back to that kind of living? Alcohol, tobacco, and all the other things. God wants his people to be a separated people. The mixed multitude is not of God. This bridge, this building of bridges to bring groups together who do not believe what what we believe is not of God. Many in this mixed multitude, do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that He's God come in the flesh. Some of this mixed multitude say Jesus was a created being. I'm not going to sit on a platform with someone who believes something like that. Some of this great mixed crowd, they even deny the priesthood of the believer. Thank God I can go directly to Jesus. Many of this mixed multitude deny the inerrancy of the Bible. They don't believe all the Bible is the Word of God. How are you going to get mixed up with somebody like that? Many of the mixed multitude believe that salvation is temporary. Salvation is not something that God gives you, then keeps it, then you keep it by your own efforts. The temporary salvation crowd is not my crowd. One time someone asked Dr. Rice, "Are you going to make anybody mad tonight?" Dr. Rice said, "If God's on me, I'm going to." I don't wish to make anybody mad, but I don't want to fail God either. I don't want to fail to warn people about what Satan's trying to do. The mixed multitude has lowered the standards and has deceived many people. Third big point. The mixed multitude in the land. Notice the third time it's mentioned in the Bible is in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 3. "Now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." When they read the law, Nehemiah and those who believed the word of God and was true and that God meant what He said, separated from themselves all the mixed multitude. They had defiled the Sabbath. They had married heathen wives. They had desecrated the house of God. They withheld their tithe. They violated the word of God. They separated from the mixed multitude. That's what we ought to do. Amen. Fourth big point, I'm about through. The mixed multitude in the future. The mixed multitude had to be put out. The Bible closes by telling how the mixed multitude is going to end. Right. Revelation 17, 18 very definitely pictures political and ecclesiastical Babylon. Revelation 18, 4, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." Come out of her, folks. Stand for something. Be able to say no. Stay true to the Bible and walk with God as a free people. Win souls, build churches, and send the gospel to the ends of the earth. We don't need the mixed multitude. I'd far rather be a come outer when the Lord comes than a compromiser. Old-fashioned, blood-bought Christians have never been popular with a mixed multitude. God help us and God keep us from a man-made mixture which is not of God. I'm separated, but I want to win every sinner to Jesus I possibly can. Amen. I never shall forget Brother Avery Rogers. I nicknamed him the War Horse of Victoria, Texas. Came to our church 27 straight years. What a preacher. When he got up to preach the Word of God, I mean, he preached the Word of God. I mean, what a preacher. I had him there for a revival one time, and on Sunday night, he got up to preach, and the front door opened. And in the front door walked a man, a red-headed man, and his wife. I mean, flaming red hair. I said to myself, I bet you they call him Red. Him and his wife came, sat down. Brother Rogers, he really preached a great message. Gave the invitation. Quite a few people came to the altar. I was dealing with some people over here in the altar. And while I was in the altar with these people, Red Pruitt and his wife got up and knelt in the altar over here. And before I could get up and go to them, after they knelt a few minutes, they got up and went back to their seat. And they filled out a visitor's card. Would you consider becoming a member of this church? And they wrote yes. I told Brother Rogers, I said, let's go make that visit. Maybe we can help those folks. And they gave an address on Little York Street. I wondered where that could be. Not many houses on Little York Street, mainly places of business. And we drove down. I was looking at the visitor's card trying to find the address. And lo and behold, the address on that card was the same address as the Empire Nightclub. I said to Brother Rogers, I said, Brother Rogers, what do you think we ought to do? Brother Rogers said, they visited us, didn't they? I figured since they visited us, we're going to visit them. And I'm telling you, we ought to go after sinners to try to get them saved. Even though we don't believe in compromising with a mixed multitude. I walked up to the front door of the Empire Nightclub, opened the door. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. Did you know it's dark in those places? Brother Rogers kind of pushing me, and I said, hold it, Brother Rogers, hold it. I said, I can't see the hand in front of my face. I said, let our eyes get adjusted, and we'll go on in. Stood there a few moments, my eyes started getting adjusted. I saw the counter. Behind the counter, I saw Red Pruitt. Me and Brother Rogers walked in. Red Pruitt, I never seen a guy sweat like he did. He probably thought the only people he ever expected to see in the Empire Club wasn't Harold Clayton and Avery Rogers. He came out from around the counter and got us and took us over the table, kind of off the mainstream. We sat down there. He said, you preachers want anything to drink? He's talking about coffee, I guess. Brother Rogers pulled out his New Testament. He didn't kill any time at all. Pulled out his New Testament and started giving him the plan of salvation. And when he got through giving him the plan of salvation, he said, Red, you ought to be saved. Red said, no, but I'll tell you what. I promise you two preachers, me and my wife would be in the service tonight. Somehow or another, I believed him. I've had Baptist folk tell me that and never show up. But somehow or another, I believed him. We left the Empire Nightclub that night, Monday night. Brother Rogers got up to preach. I was looking for Red and his wife. They wasn't there yet. Finally, the front door opened. Here they come. Came in, sat down about five rows from the front. She had on a fur coat, diamond rings. And Brother Rogers preached like a house on fire. I'm going to tell you something. You always preach better when you got somebody to preach to. Just haul in every old sinner around here you can, and Brother Boy, he'll preach himself to death. You always preach better when you got sinners to preach to. Man, did he preach. Gave the invitation, first note of the first stanza. Red Pruitt stepped out. Came down to the front. I said, Red, you won't get saved tonight. Big old tears came down his cheek. He said, I believe I do.
Amen.
I said, kneel down right here. Let's kneel down. Let's pray and give your heart to Jesus. And we prayed and he gave his heart to Jesus.
Amen.
About that time I heard a commotion. I looked up. Miss Pruitt got up. Fur coat, diamond rings and all. She almost ran down the altar and fell down the altar by Red Pruitt. And I said, Miss Pruitt, you want to be saved too? She said, if Red got saved, I want to get saved too. I said, okay, let's pray. She prayed and was wonderfully saved. Next week I baptized both of them. Guess what? 2 weeks later, he walked down to the Empire Nightclub, the biggest old lock you ever saw, and put it on the front door and locked it up. Never been opened since. Amen. So I had to close the mixed multitude message by saying, we do love sinners. But we don't compromise with a mixed multitude. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Lord Jesus, thank you for the message tonight. I wish we could have done better. But thank you for helping us. And Lord, bless this invitation. We're nothing without you. And just, I pray that everybody just let the Lord have his way in their heart right now. And if they feel that little tug in their heart, just help them to come. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name.